Chapter 9. The First Cities of India. The River Road. The Egyptians lived on the Nile River. The Assyrians and the Babylonians lived on the Tigris and Euphrates rivers in Mesopotamia. Why do you think that ancient people wanted to live near rivers? People who lived near rivers had plenty of water to drink and to use on their crops. But there's another reason why ancient cities were built near rivers. Imagine that you live in ancient Mesopotamia, down near Ur. Let's pretend that you're a merchant, like Terah was in our story about Abram. You've got a wonderful crop of wheat this year, and you've just heard that the wheat in Assyria all got washed away in a flood. The people in Assyria will pay twice as much for wheat as the people in Ur, because there's wheat all over Ur, but almost none in Assyria. So you decide that you'll travel north to Assyria with your wheat and sell it there. You can make a lot of money that way. How will you get from Ur to Assyria? Remember, you don't have a car or truck. If you're going to go all the way to Assyria, you'll have to use a cart pulled by cows. You can't walk because the wheat is too heavy to carry. And your cart has wheels made out of wood, because rubber hasn't been invented yet. How long do you think the wheels last? Will you have to stop and fix them between Ur and Assyr? How fast do cows walk? How long do you think it will take you to walk at the pace of a cow all the way to Assyria? Let's think about the ground in Mesopotamia for a minute. In this area, the ground is either sandy or rocky. Remember, there are no bulldozers and paving machines to make nice, smooth roads. So part of the way to Assyria, you'll have to walk on sand. What's difficult about walking on sand? Think about being at the beach. Do your feet sink into the sand? What if you were pulling a very heavy cart with wooden wheels? Would the wheels sink into the sand? Let's also think about rocky ground. How will your cart go on rocky ground? Going to Assyr with carts and cows doesn't sound like a very easy trip. Can you think of another way to get from Ur to Assyr? Think about this. You could put all your wheat on a boat. Then you could sail from Ur on the Euphrates River down to the Persian Gulf, and then you could sail back up the Tigris River. By sailing in your boat, you could get there in less time and with a lot less work. Cities grew up on rivers because it was easy to ship food, metals, wood, and other goods up and down the water. It was much easier to go by water than to drag heavy loads over land. The cities in Mesopotamia used the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers to trade with each other. But they didn't just trade with each other. They also traded with countries to the east. And one of the countries they traded with was India. The people of India also used a river as a road. Their river was called the Indus, and the land around the Indus River was called the Indus Valley. The people of India settled in this valley because they could drink the river's water, fish in it, and use it to water their fields. They also sailed up and down the Indus River, trading with each other. Eventually, the people of India sailed out into the Arabian Sea. The Arabian Sea was the largest body of water they had ever seen. They must have thought that they were in a sea that had no shores and would never end. But they were brave. They kept exploring. Soon they learned that they could sail up to the cities of Mesopotamia and trade with them. If the people of India had tried to go across the land to Mesopotamia, they would have had to cross a mountain range. But by boat, the trip wasn't difficult at all. So the people of India, like the Mesopotamians, built large cities near the Indus River and made money by trading with other cities. Today we call their civilization the Harappan Civilization. It was strongest between 2000 and 1750 BCE. The Mystery of Mohenjo-Daro. The people who lived in the Indus Valley built cities just like the people in Mesopotamia, but there weren't any empires in the Indus Valley. No great warrior like Sargon or Hammurabi or Shamsi-Adad tried to unite all the Indus Valley cities, the Harappan cities, into one kingdom. The people of the Harappan cities stayed independent. A farmer living in the Indus Valley had a different life from a farmer in Egypt or in Mesopotamia. He grew grain, but he also grew fruit, like melons, and cotton. And he used water buffalo and elephants to work his fields. A farmer in Babylonia would have been amazed to see an Indus Valley farmer walking along beside his elephant as he harvested his cotton and melons. The cities in the Indus Valley were built around huge circular mounds called citadels. Each citadel had a stronghold on it, a place to go in case enemies attacked. All around the citadel, people built their houses out of mud bricks that had been baked hard in ovens. The houses were very comfortable. They had courtyards, wells, and even toilets and drains. People living in the houses could haul water up out of their wells rather than going all the way to the river for water. Large public baths, like big swimming pools, meant that everyone could stay clean and cool. And the drains took waste out of the houses down into deep gutters that ran along the streets. The citadel cities were some of the biggest in the world. Mohenjo-Daro had over 40,000 people living in it. But something happened to the cities of the Indus Valley. Around 1750 BCE, people began to leave their homes. Eventually, the cities were almost entirely deserted. The buildings, drains, wells, and citadels crumbled. Slowly, sand and dirt covered over the cities. For hundreds of years, no one knew that the citadel cities were even there. Finally, archaeologists started to dig in the ground around the Indus River. They found the remains of the great citadel cities. They found ruined walls and citadels, but they couldn't find any clues about why people stopped living there. They found some writing that the Indus Valley people left, but we can't read the writing, so we don't know what it says. In Mohenjo-Daro, archaeologists found skeletons lying in the street, as though people died right there in the road and weren't even buried. What happened to the citadel cities? We'll probably never know for sure. But the people of India still tell ancient stories passed down over thousands of years. These stories come from long ago, from the time when the citadel cities were still flourishing. Maybe these stories are clues. One is called The Hunter and the Quail. Once, a flock of quail lived on the banks of a river. They had plenty to eat and drink, but they were afraid of the hunter who came every evening to catch them. He would creep up to the edge of the flock with his net and then leap out of the bushes. When the quail scattered, he would catch the nearest bird in his net, carry it back to his house, and eat it for dinner. One day, the oldest of the quail said,
"This is easy for the hunter to catch just one of us. But what if he threw his net over all of us? We would be strong enough to escape."
So the next evening, when the hunter leaped out of the bushes, the quail all stayed in one flock. The hunter flung his net over the quail, but they rose up from the ground together, pulled the net out of his hands, and flew away, still side by side. All together, the quail were too strong for the hunter. The quail were very pleased. Now they didn't have to be afraid. Night after night they stayed together, pulled the hunter's net out of his hands, and flew away. But soon the quail began to push and jostle at each other as they crowded together in their safe, strong group.
"You're stepping on my claw," cried one.
"You're rumpling my feathers,"
cried another.
"You're squeezing me until I can't breathe,"
complained a third. Finally, they scattered, and the hunter, who had been waiting in the bushes, leaped out and netted them one by one. As he headed back to his house, he said, "Together they are free, but apart they are supper." What does this story mean? Perhaps it means that the citadel cities, staying independent and separate from each other, were defeated by invaders. Maybe that's what happened to Mohenjo-Daro. Maybe if they had united together into one kingdom, the citadel cities would have survived. But we will never know for sure.